Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. And behold, a man came up to Christ, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." And the young man said to Jesus, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect to inherit eternal life, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We're going through a stretch together, looking at our purpose in this one time around life of ours, a purpose and an impact which only you can live out and which will leave the legacy which God created you and only you to leave or not. Last week, we looked at the life of the prophet Elisha as he took over from Elijah. We watched as Elisha burned his plow equipment and his oxen from his former life as a farmer. There was no turning back for him, and we realized that to live the life we were meant to live, we also need to move on from the past that tends to hold us back from becoming all we were meant to be. I shared about my early morning walks on the beach where the surf wipes clean the marks and the scars on the sand, leaving it smooth and clean, like God's grace does with the mistakes and the problems of our past. He wipes them clean, leaving clean landscapes ahead of us for our futures with Him. In 1989, the late Stephen Covey published a self-help book entitled The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, presenting an approach to being effective in attaining your goals by aligning yourself to what Covey called the true north principles of a character ethic that he emphasized were timeless and universal. Through the years, that book sold over 25 million copies. In it, Covey explains the 7 habits, with the 3rd habit being to put first things first, which emphasizes the character quality of distinguishing between the important things of life and those that are simply urgent, to set the priorities of our lives by true north. The story of the rich young ruler that we read a moment ago, Christ's message to the young man who was seeking eternal life was that the eternal priorities of life should guide the decisions, direction, and destination of our lives, making Christ, his teachings, and example the direction of our lives. Easy enough, right? Right? But as we saw, it wasn't so easy for the rich young man who met Christ, and it may not be so easy for us. That young man walked away depressed with the choices before him. As far as we know, he chose not to follow what Christ said, but instead held on to his possessions. While standing before him was the very person who would provide him with eternal assurance, identity, and everlasting peace. And he passed him up for temporary worldly comfort, power, and prestige. So, on a day-to-day basis, how do we live that life focused on the important things that Christ calls us to? How do we determine what is important versus what is urgent? How do we define and discern the important priorities of our lives? What priorities guide your life? Are they important or simply urgent? Are they aligned with what Christ says is important or aligned with what the world says is important? Recently, we celebrated the birthday of our son, Nathan. He is a sacred gift to us and a priority in our lives. A number of years ago, when Nathan was in high school, I was practicing law in Gainesville, and I was faced with a career decision, which I wrestled with for weeks, trying to get to a place of peace about it. A vacancy had occurred in one of the judicial positions created by the unexpected and early retirement of one of our judges. An election would be held to fill the position. A number of friends and members of the local legal community encouraged me to run for the seat, with the likelihood that I would be elected if I did. I had been privileged before that to clerk for 2 highly respected federal judges and learned how a judge should behave with humility and a respect for the rule of law. I had always felt a sense of calling to serve in a similar way as they had, and they had taught me. But I was struggling with the decision, which seemed obvious to others. And then driving home one day, after meeting with some friends, the lesson that Tom Landry had learned came to mind. Before Coach Landry accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord, football was his God, his most important priority. As the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants at the time, he was respected by his peers, but his family was not a priority. But when Christ became his first priority, Christ made his bride, Alicia, and his children the next highest priority in his life. His career coaching football, eventually for years as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was somewhere down the list of priorities. Well, at that time in our lives, Nathan would be entering his last year in high school, and I had been coaching him and his baseball team for years. I thought about Coach Landry's example. I realized that as a judge, my schedule would not only keep me from coaching him, but it would cause me to miss most of his games his senior year, moments and other events of his last year of high school. The answer to my dilemma became immediately clear to me. I would not seek the judicial seat. Instantly, a sense of peace came over me. What was important to the rich young ruler was all of his stuff, his money, all he had accumulated, his position and his status, which he held on to tightly. Christ knew that all of that was his God, his idol, and was keeping him from becoming all he could be and from the eternal life that he was seeking. The young man needed to change his priorities, and Christ knew that for him to do that, he would have to give it all away. Through that parable, Christ is not saying, hear me now, he's not saying that we need to give everything we own away, but he is saying that if we can't give it away or share it, that we have a problem with what is truly important in our lives. If we don't see our talents, time, and treasures as God's gifts to us to share with and use for others and his kingdom purposes, then Christ likely is talking to us, to you, and to me as well, just as he was to that rich young ruler. Look, there's nothing inherently wrong with all that stuff, except when it begins to determine and measure our worth and our value, except when it becomes more important than the important and eternal things, like the time we spend with our spouses, special people, our children, grandchildren, godchildren, friends, or in sharing with a world of people needing a lift up in life. Let me close this morning with a story I've shared many times and with some of you before. It's a story of a father who finally found out what was truly important in his life, and thankfully, not too late for him to change. For you see, he was a very successful businessman who finally found time from his busy schedule to take his 12-year-old son fishing. An achiever, and a very efficient one, this man considered leisure to be an extravagance. And so, after a long day spent catching nothing, the pair, father and son, returned home. Waste of time, the man grumbled to his wife that night as they got ready for bed. Didn't catch a thing all day. Waste of time. His wife turned to him and said, maybe you should read this, and handed him a small book that his son had showed her earlier when she was putting him to bed. It was his son's diary, and in it he had written, best day of my life, went fishing with my dad. It changed more than the man's mind. It changed the man. Guys, look, it's a point we need to hear, whether we want to or not. It's a change we need to embrace before it's all too late to make any more changes. And it's a lesson we need to learn and internalize in our lives to begin to have the impact and live the legacy God intended for us to leave. What are the important, the eternal things of our lives we should be embracing and doing today? Because one day, we're going to come face to face with the reality that our time on earth is over. And maybe even more striking will be the realization somewhere along the way, maybe today, that we can't do the days and years of our lives over again. Can't do it. Once around to leave a legacy of things or a legacy of fingerprints on the hearts of those who are less when we are gone, but more, so much more, because we were here and cared. One time around to leave a legacy of worldly success or a legacy of importance and impact, reaching for all the potential that God placed not only in our own lives, but in the lives of all those around us who need some help from us. And in the process, living lives aligned with the important and eternal priorities of Christ, and leaving a legacy of changed lives in the world around us simply because we were there. Once around, whatever our age, make sure you and I get it right. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my friends, for this time together, for this moment to pause and to look back and to learn from where we didn't have our priorities in order, and to look ahead with you and your guidance and leadership to get our priorities right, to focus on the important, to make a difference in the world, to forget about the urgent stuff all around us pulling at us, to forget about the stuff that the world says is important, but to focus on the important things that you call us to make a difference in the lives around us by getting our priorities in order. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us in this one time around you've given us. And thanks for leading us through it. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.